And the word of the Lord came to. You know, in the Old Testament, it uses this phrase in the NIV translation, the word of the Lord came to. That phrase is found 98 different times. How many of you know if it's in the Bible more than once, it's important? Up about 98 times, I think it's really, really important. We read about how the word of the Lord came to Abraham and came to Samuel and Nathan and Solomon and a man from God from Bethel, Jehu, Elijah, Shemaiah, the man of God. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and the word of the Lord came to Hosea. The word of the Lord came to Joel. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Micah. The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah. The word of the Lord came to Haggai. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah. The word of the Lord came and comes. Amen? Now, that is a profound thought when you grab a hold of it and what God wants to do with it in our lives today. Because that means something, that the word of the Lord came to men and women. That means, first of all, that God speaks. Amen? In our culture, there's a lot of things that people might say, does God really talk? Yes, God speaks. He is not silent. He is engaged with his people, and he speaks to them. Aren't you glad that God is engaged with you? God didn't just create you and create men and women and say, okay, have a good time. Hope it all works out for you. No, God is intimately engaged with his people. He speaks to them. He speaks to you. He knows your language. Amen? God knows Spanish. God knows English. God knows Spanglish. And God knows whatever it is that I see students using when they're writing on Facebook. It's a cross between bad grammar and text type. And I pray for the interpretation. God, what is it that they're saying? God knows your language. He knows how to speak to you. Now think about it. Men and women, husbands and wives, that's amazing, because how many of you have ever tried to talk to your spouse and they just weren't getting it? Okay? You're just not hearing me. You just don't get me. But God gets you. God understands you, and he speaks to men and women. He's not afar off. The word of the Lord came to all of these different people. Now, when he speaks, men and women understand. God knows how to speak your language, and it's in a way that you understand. I know a lot of times we'd like to hide behind the excuse saying, well, yeah, maybe God's speaking, but I don't understand him. You know what? It's not about the things that you don't understand when it comes to the things God's telling you. Really, the question is, are you following through with the things that you do understand? Hello? There's so many things that are very, very clear that we can say, you know, we're going to be without excuse if we say, well, God, I never heard that. God will say, no, I spoke to you. Well, I didn't understand. What don't you understand about love your neighbor as yourself? How many of you have ever heard that? Recognize that that's God's word. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to say, well, I didn't understand. What? They tried that with Jesus, didn't they? Well, who's my neighbor? Right? I don't understand. He's like, so he told the parable of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, right? Says, whoever is near you that you would do good to, that's your neighbor. And so we play that card, but it doesn't play well. God speaks in a way that we can understand. Throughout the Bible, no one questions this phenomenon. It is assumed that God can and does speak to his people. Now, when God does speak, this is on the back of your bulletin in an outline form. How many of you are impressed that you got an outline from Pastor Matt? How many of you are even more impressed that he could actually organize his thoughts? 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, it's like he's not chasing rabbits or anything like that. Okay, here we go. The third one, the third one on there, I got to go back to what I wrote now. The third one is that what he speaks demands a response. God doesn't talk just to hear his own voice. Do you know people that talk just to hear their own voice? Don't point, okay? But God doesn't speak just to hear his own voice. He speaks because he has something he wants you to understand, and then there's a response of faith or a response of obedience that is required. Now, I love the response that Mary had when the word of the Lord came to her. Now, the word of the Lord came to her by an angel, right? The angel shows up and says, "You're going to give birth to a child." And she said, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Lord will overshadow you, and you will give birth to a son. You'll call him Jesus." And she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word." That's a huge statement for her. I mean, her life was going to be changed. She was putting herself in where people wouldn't understand. Let me tell you, when God's word comes to you and you begin to act upon his word, there are going to be some people that don't understand. You realize that, right? But that response of faith is incredible. "Let it be unto me according to your word." How many of you know that Mary was the first one to carry the gospel? Yeah, it's a bad joke. Thank you for that loud courtesy laugh, Vanya. I appreciate it. Living our life according to the word of God is huge. Look in Psalm 119. I'm going to go through several of these. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Psalm 119:9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." Verse 25 says, "I am laid low in dust. Preserve my life according to your word. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." Verse 28. Verse 37 says, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." Verse 65 says, "Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord." Verse 107 says, "I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word." Verse 133 says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." Verse 169 says, "May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." I think the psalmist is trying to make a point here. Did you get it? How are we to live? According to his word. There are great blessings when we live our life according to the word of God. When we say, like Mary said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." How many of you know that your emotions go up and down and all over the place? Amen? That you need the consistency of God's word spoken into your life. Let me just tell you this. I love worship. How many of you love worshiping God? Have you noticed that worship brings out emotion in you, doesn't it? And it's so important. And Mickey shared a scripture today saying we need to learn to say to our souls, "Bless the Lord." Okay? Why is that? Because honestly, praise and worship can rise and fall with our emotions, doesn't it? What would you say the same is true about your prayer life? How many of you say, I'm not saying it should be that way, but we're just being honest here, right? That's a good thing to be in church, is to be honest. And honestly, how many of you would say, some days when my mood is good, I'm great at praying, and some days I really stink at praying? Anybody else, right? According to your emotions. You see, prayer and worship might have this up and down, but the word of God can be consistent in your life. You should live your life according to the word of God. If you will develop, and that's why for the next 8 months, we're going to put in our hearts in every area, we're going to put in our hearts and our lifestyle and everything that we're focused on is that we will be centered on the word of God, that we'll be centered on the story of God, that we might find an eternal and practical and consistent message that runs through our hearts and lives. Doesn't that sound good? Now, it's kind of crazy, but as we looked at this and as we laid this out, and God laid this out in my heart, this is kind of a big risk. Everything that we're doing in all of the ministries of New Hope center around this one thing. Okay? You say, well, why is that a risk?
Well, what if it doesn't work?
All right? Put yourself in my shoes. I'm saying everything for the next 8 months is going to center around this. As we make every part of our conversation that would say, let me live my life, my story, according to the Word of God, according to His story. Now, I thank God that I have confidence in the Word of God. I have confidence. As I live my life, as we establish our homes, as we establish our school, as we establish this church on the foundation of the Word of God, nothing will come wrong against us. We'll be consistent. We'll have that faithfulness of God shining through our lives. Amen? Now, something I want you to know about, and this is your fill in the blank, and one of the reasons I don't like to do notes is sometimes I forget to give you the fill in the blanks, and then people are like, you didn't hear anything else because you just missed those two blanks. We only have two blanks, okay? So, but the first one is this. Are you ready? The Word of God is living. The Word of God is living, and this is the big central point of what I want you to take home with you today, is that the Word of God is living. Look at this. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Here's what's going to happen over the next few weeks. These words are going to come alive. The story of God is going to come alive, and you're going to come alive as you link your story with His story. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. It's living. Say that with me. The Word of God is living. Let me. Okay, we didn't do that together at all, but how many of you did do it? Okay, let me. Can you say that in Spanish for me? I'm not going to be able to say it with you. Say, the Word of God is living. Amen. I said that in Spanish. Could you do it? Okay. The Word of God is living. Check this out. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25. It says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, can't even say that in English, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail. But the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is alive. It does not die. Now, let's think this through. Have you ever been reading, and we're being honest here, right? Have you ever been reading the book of Leviticus? No. That's the first thing. Okay, so you get into the book of Leviticus, and there's some stuff that's, it's like, okay, right? Now, all of the Word of God is practical and applicable and has value. The Scripture says that. But sometimes when I'm reading through the Bible, I just got to be honest with you. Sometimes when I start to fall asleep. In fact, I have one Bible that is just the right thickness. Okay? Because as I'm reading it, if I fall on it and I'm laying before the Lord, my nose still has clearance. So it's a pretty thick Bible. But I want you to hear this, that the Word of God is going to come alive, and it will not fade. I believe that God is going to do something transformational in your life. From whatever level you're at, you might say, man, I have never even read the Bible. I know it's got some good things in it, but honestly, I never have. It's so big, and where to start with? I don't know where to start with. That's why we've chosen this format, this story, to help you. Now, it's got about 80% of the Bible put together in chronological form. So it's going to help us get through. How many of you say if we get in the 8 months, if we get through 80% of the Bible, that will be a big step for a lot of people, right? So we're going to do that, and we're going to let it come alive in us, and it will not fade. My grandfather is 96, 97, somewhere around there. A few years ago, when I saw him, and it's always a pleasure when I see him, he was taking his Bible, and he had gone back to the church that he pastored in Iowa years and years ago, and the church was celebrating its 100th anniversary. And I saw him as he took his Bible and he hugged it. And he said, "This is my Bible. This is my word from God." And here he is in his 90s. He's still reading the Bible. He's still seeing it come alive to him anew. That's what God's word can do. It can sustain you through your whole life because the word of God is alive. It doesn't fade. And you know what? The word of God is living and active and powerful. How many of you have ever heard this, that God's word does not return void? Have you heard that? When God sends his word out, it accomplishes. I want you to check out this whole scripture where that's found. It's found in Isaiah chapter 55. It's going to come up on the screen. You've heard other parts of this probably quoted in different passages, but we're going to pick up the whole chapter. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, all you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtles will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed." God's word will not return empty. It will not return void. As you begin to invest your heart and your life into the Word of God, it's going to bear fruit in your life. That's why we made a choice to invest in every person. Whether you ordered a book or not, you got one. Why? Because there's nothing more that we can do for you than to give you the Word of God, than to help you take it as a part of your life. And as you, over the next 8 months, journey with us, whether you're here on Sundays or Wednesdays or whether you're just doing it at home, as you're journeying through this, you're going to hear God's word. And you're going to find your story in the middle of his story. And it's going to produce fruit. It's going to bring forth something that is incredible because the word of God is alive and it's powerful and it's effective and it doesn't return void. Now, I want you to consider something with me for a minute, but before you do this, I want you to all raise your right hand. Okay? I, state your name. Promise not to call Pastor Matt a heretic, even though what he says might mess with my mind a little bit. Okay, thank you. So we testified here. I want to ask you this question. What is the Word of God? Okay. What's your first answer when somebody says, what's the Word of God? Jesus? The Bible? Okay. What? What's written in the Bible? Okay, so yeah, we say the Word of God, that's where we go first. Okay? We say, typically we say that the Word of God is the Bible. And we say that when we read all of these verses, they are applicable to the Bible. And I will tell you that that's partially right. But now let me back up to what I first started with. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to a man from Bethel. Does that mean somebody gave him a Bible? No. It means God spoke to him, right? And when God speaks to somebody, it's powerful and effective. Are you with me here? The Bible didn't get into the average person's hand until the Reformation, around Martin Luther days. Okay? Now, if that's true, does that mean that the Word of God was not alive to all of those thousands and millions of people that lived before that time? No, God's Word comes alive. And in fact, Pat said this, and I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1 and pick this up with me a little bit. John chapter 1 says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So in the beginning was the Word of God. Was the Bible in the beginning? No, the Word of God was, though. It says, this light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through him the world was made through him. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14, are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Look at this. The Word became flesh, or human, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John comes after me, has surpassed me, because, or John said, he who comes after me surpasses me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. The Word, the living Word, became flesh, became human, and dwelt amongst us. I want you to imagine this. You are the creator. That's kind of hard already, right? And you've created somebody that, or something that cannot understand you at all. Okay? And you're trying to let that creation understand who you are and why they were created. Only God can do that, right? Now put yourself as you are, as creation. You ever begin to look at things and say, God, I don't understand. You know why you don't understand? Because you don't understand. God is far above you. And so God began to create, and as he created, he wanted to reveal his word. He wanted to reveal who he was through and to creation. So he created the heavens and the earth, and the heavens and the earth declare the glories of God. But at the same time, even though they declare the glories of God, I don't know that I really get it all. So he would send his word, and his word would be spoken to different prophets and through different prophets, and he would do the miraculous. And yet, still, it was hard for men and women to understand. He sent his law so that they could figure out some of the things that were right and wrong and true and just and about the Lord. And even though they understood the law, they couldn't fulfill it. The law was perfect, man's comprehension and implementation of that law was far short of what really was all about God's glory. So God said, how can I give the picture of who I am and what I am to where my creation can understand? The only way he could do that was if the word would become flesh that would dwell within, so it could speak the same language and demonstrate the glory of God by taking upon himself humanity. When you see Jesus, you see God. You understand what God's love is by the life of Jesus, don't you? You understand what true righteousness is by the life of Jesus. Because it all points to, the story all points to Jesus and who he is and what he's wanting to do. The word became flesh. His word is alive and becomes alive as we understand Jesus and we meet Jesus. I want you to hear that. Are you with me? The word of God will only come alive to you as you meet Jesus. As you meet Jesus and as you focus everything through the heart and mind and life of Jesus, then his word will become alive to you. Now, how many of you say, okay, Pastor Matt, you're not a heretic. Okay, three of you, thank you. Right, Springfield, Missouri, say, Pastor Matt is not a heretic. Now, here's my next question, if I still have you with me. If not, pretend. Is the word of God a what or a who? See, my prayer behind all of this over the next few months and weeks is that the word of God will become living to you. And if the word of God is only a what, then it's not living. But when the word of God becomes a who, he's going to come alive in your life. It's going to make every bit of difference in your life. When you're introduced to the story of God loving you, redeeming you, when your story becomes his story and his story becomes your story, then truly the word of God will come alive. You see, the next fill in the blank, you only have two. We're going to make sure we get them. The word of God must be fleshed out. Fleshed out. It must become flesh. As you read through the Bible and as you see it operating in the life of Jesus, then it actually needs to be fleshed out in your life. It needs to be made practical in your life. The way you do that is by putting yourself in the center of God's story. You say, God, where do I fit in this? Maybe I'm not the center, but where do I fit in all of this? What's my part? And what have you done for me? Then the word becomes alive and it begins to flesh out. I grew up as a church boy, okay? My dad is a pastor. I made a decision, a conscious decision, to follow Christ at the age of 5. I was in ministry as a teenager and read the Bible, studied the Bible, all of those types of things, okay, as much as you can do as a young boy. And I was actually out on a ministry trip when the Word came alive to me. Now, I'd read the Bible many times, but it just, you know, it was stories. It was things I needed to do or not do. But I can remember I was reading through the book of Acts, and something happened in my spirit that was like, this stuff is real. Not only that, this stuff is stuff that I should be able to experience and be a part of. And I can remember as the Word began to jump out in my life, and the difference was that I put myself in the story. I put myself in the Word of God. I began to let the Word of God flesh itself out in me. I had to happen to be on a missions trip or traveling with a group that spent some time in missions, and it's just hard for me to say it's a missions trip when I was in Jamaica, you know, and it was beautiful, but I was reading in Acts, and I was in Kingston, Jamaica, and I read about how Peter and John went to the temple and went through the gate called Beautiful, and as they were going through there they saw a beggar who cried out for alms. And the man had been lame and cried out for some gift. And I read how they looked at him and they fastened their eye upon him and they said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'm going to give you." And they grabbed him by the arm and they pulled him up. And I'm putting myself in the story. I'm thinking, would I have the courage and the faith needed to grab him by the hand? And as you read this story, it's like, when did he get healed? They're starting to pull him up. I don't know if he was healed before they started to pull him up or after. I'm thinking, how could that happen? They pulled him up and he was healed and he started going, running through the temple, praising God for what he had done. I remember going to the market in Kingston that day, coming out in a tourist. Kind of stuck out a little bit, I think. I'm used to it now. I remember walking out of the shop and to my right, for the first time in my life, I was confronted with a lame beggar. And I was like, this is real. It'd make a really good story if I healed the man, wouldn't it? But I got to be honest. I looked away. That happened when I was 17 years old, almost 29 years ago. And to this day, I'm like, Lord, let me never come to a place like that where I don't have the faith to at least pray for somebody. You see, my life was in the story. That story, the Bible, was being fleshed out in my life. That's what God wants. He wants the Word of God to come alive in us, where we're fleshing out what's going on. And you say, well, Pastor Matt, I'm with you, man. I wouldn't be able to grab that guy by the hand, and I don't think I'll ever be there. Anybody, you're like, Pastor Matt, don't look at me. I see some nods, but I mean, really. You'll never be there unless you really grab a hold of the scripture I said before, that God's word will not return void. If you're acting upon God's word, then whose problem is it if it doesn't work out? It's God's. It's his word. He watches over his word to make sure that it will be completed. So if you're acting out according to God's word, if you're living your life according to his word, you can have confidence that you've lived your life according to his word, and he will make it happen in your life.